Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blues Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and I am recording from the HAL Conference 2015, which actually would have been last week, so these are, you know, due to the future. And here in Chicago, the Hyatt Regency, I heard word that there's somewhere just over 4,000 designers have somehow signed up to be at this thing, and it's crazy. It's crazy. But I'm thankfully, thanks Nina Paper for letting me record directly from their booth, and we have with us Andy Epstein. Andy, I think we've been on the show a couple times.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you've shoved the mic in my face a few times at the HAL conferences.
Now, I don't know where you were last time we spoke, but now you're over with the Boss Group, is that right?
Well, yeah, actually, I was with them the last time we spoke, but it probably wouldn't have been that obvious.
Did you just hear you were interviewing for the Boss Group and think you were applying to be a boss, and that's why you took the job? Like, when did it finally kick into you that you actually just, you might or might not be the boss at the Boss Group?
Well, actually, I'm not the boss. My wife is the boss. But yeah, this would be my one chance in my professional life to be a boss, and that's exactly why I went to him. Though, ironically, I actually ended up being a boss through the Boss Group.
Yes.
Where do people go to, like, where do they go to find out more about the Boss Group, and what does the Boss Group do other than being bosses?
So they're a staffing firm, and actually what happened for me is, well, certainly you can go to thebossgroup.com or go over to the booth if they're here at the event.
Oh, these are coming out like a week after the thing's over.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, so you're not going to find them. If you come to the hall here, they won't be here, sorry. But I actually got hired through them to manage an in-house group, but through them as a staffing firm, we're actually what's called a managed services group. So we work at Merck, so I work for Merck, but I'm not a Merck employee. And I work through the Boss Group. It's kind of a little convoluted, but what's great about that is that we don't have to follow all the Merck rules, especially when it comes to managing creatives, which, as we all know, in an in-house environment, a lot of the bureaucracy that's applied to, like, accounting or HR doesn't really apply to a creative team, or there's not a good fit there. So we get to do stuff the way it should be done with creatives and creative teams in a corporate environment, and we get to work for them, but we don't have to follow all the rules that they have for other teams.
Now, you've been kind of an advocate for in-house for years and kind of promoting the benefits. Is that one of the things where, do you see a lot of places going to where they're in-house but they're not really, so they can get around, like, corporate rules? Does it happen when it's a bigger firm, or is it just something that it happens to skirt other laws?
Well, you know what? So you just asked a lot of really good questions. A, yes, it is to skirt other laws. So there's co-employment issues where a lot of big companies can only hold on to freelance workers for a limited period of time because they could get in trouble.
Yeah, they don't want to. I remember it was like 15 years ago, Microsoft started getting around with the perma-temps, and that was kind of the term. And so I know that's where, like, I did an in-house job, and they hired me as a part-time employee, even though it was really just a contractor. But because I was on their books as a part-time employee, even though I was a contractor, after a year, they're like, hey, we gotta let you go or hire you full-time. And I'm like, I don't want to be here full-time. So I actually went back a year later as a true contractor. But so I understand that.
That's exactly right. And so the managed services engagement, because they're not directly owning the management of the team, our team can stay on site as long as they want, or it works for the group. But the other thing is, yeah, there are more companies that are looking at this as an option. I think they're looking at it not as so much from how it allows a creative team to really operate the way it should be. I think the benefit from a corporate perspective is there's flexibility to it that they don't have if they have full-time employees, either in us being able to move people around onto different teams that make the most sense depending on whatever business is coming in, but also the flexibility to have the group grow or shrink depending on the workload that's coming into the team. So, yeah, there's a number of advantages, but from the creative side, what I love about it is the autonomy to be able to do things the right way for managing a creative team. And, yeah, I'm all about in-house still.
No, that's okay. And I mean, I was in-house, you know, for a few years, and we forget it's a large percentage of this profession. Like, it's as big of a percentage as agency or design jobs, I would say. I mean, you know, it's kind of broke between freelance, in-house, and then agency design. But I think in-house might have the largest chunk of that pie.
Well, actually, they do. You know, I was talking a couple years ago to Gary Lynch, you know, one of the obviously bigwigs around the whole HAL conference. And he noted that when people identified who were coming to the HAL conference, where they were working, the majority were in-house designers. And then I had a chance to speak with Rick Raffaele at one point, the head of AIGA.
Yeah, and he's stepping down at the end of the year.
Yeah, I know, big news.
Yeah, that's big.
He's been there for so long. I know it's going to be big shoes to have to fill. But he had mentioned also that in their surveys that the majority of practicing designers in the U.S. right now are actually in-house designers. So, yeah, you're right. And Alex Cross, who gave like a killer keynote this morning, or actually it was the keynote, I guess, for the in-house track, brought up that fact too. So, yeah, it's definitely a reality.
Now, you're speaking here. What is your talk on, and when do you give that?
So I speak tomorrow from 3:15 to 4 o'clock, and it's on professional development. And that's an area that I'm really passionate about. So, like, the boss group that I work for, the sister company is called Sella Consulting, and one of the things they do, besides consulting with creative teams to help them with their operations, is they conduct a lot of professional development seminars and workshops. And one of the things with the freedom we were given at the engagement we have at Merck was to develop our own professional development curriculum and plan. And I just learned a ton about how to do that effectively. And so I'm really excited to be able to, within an in-house or corporate environment, and not even it's not even that expensive or time-consuming if you look for every opportunity you can. So I'm really excited to be able to share what I learned over the 3.5 years I've been at Merck around professional development with the freedom that we were given.
And what's the thing you're most looking forward to the rest of the week, since we're just kind of kicking off this HAL thing that you're not involved with? Like, what are you looking to bring forth this year?
Yeah, well, I love the leadership speakers that HAL has put together.
Yeah, and they started, I think Debbie Millman started doing that last year, and I think she's spearheading those, yeah.
She sure is. And, I mean, she's completely raised the bar for this conference. It's just amazing. And so I'm looking forward to the speakers that she's been able to line up. Like, to have someone like Tom Peters at a design conference just blows my mind. And I think it's a really great shift of taking it this from being strictly a conference around hardcore design to adding that or overlaying that other element of the importance of business and the business of design, and having people like Tom Peters or last year like Seth Godin or Dan Pink speak, just really adds a lot of value.
No, and it also makes sense why now people buy a 1 or 2 day pass, because it's during the week and each day there's two big keynotes because of the business track or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could turn down the big ticket at this event. There's just so much stuff going on.
I don't even think they don't sell it like they used to. I think either by days or you just buy everything.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly it. And that happened. I used to be the program director on the in-house side. I remember we had a brainstorming session. It was hosted by Debbie, and we had all the HAL folks there. And we looked at it and we said, we've got to completely relook at the way we offer people to come to the conference and attend, because what they were seeing was that people would lock into the in-house track and they didn't have the opportunity to go to some of the other sessions that were really valuable.
Yeah, I think
valuable.
The first year they merged them, even the schedules were off. So even if you wanted you go to the die line, you're like, oh, it cuts midway through. I can only catch half presentation because... But they work out the kinks like anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They totally reconfigured the whole schedule just for that reason. Exactly.
All right. Well, great, Andy. We hope to see you the rest of the week. And best of luck in your presentation. And best of luck in continuing to be a boss, as it would be.
Thanks a lot, Donovan.
And we have here Kim Shannon from Nina. Kim, first off, thank you for letting me, shanghai the booths here and record from them.
Absolutely. Anytime, you're welcome.
What is it? Now, I just got in today. You guys have like 5 poster signings here. This poster is pretty amazing that's on the table here. But what's the big promotion that Nina's got? Because you guys always have something new. What haven't I seen yet?
Well, I would say that probably the newest things that we've got are a couple of new product revisions. So we've got Astro Brights that's been recently revised.
To be more Astro Brighty?
To be more Astro Brighty. Not to be confused with Aphrodite. There we go, Aphrodite. Too much caffeine.
And I think now, did I see those carried in like Office Max or something when I was there? Is that the one of the papers that it's like you walk down and you're like, whoa, that's bright, and then you're like, that's a giant Nina logo in the middle of the Office Max or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of a new thing for us. It's, you know, part of what came across from Wausau when we adopted the Wausau brands a couple of years ago. But yes, you're right. There's a retail kind of version now of the Astrobite. So it lives in a couple of different spaces, on the commercial side as well as in the retail space.
And you guys once again brought the letterpress along. You guys got four booths here. Well, you got two full booths. One's kind of split in half, and then a pack. So we got a packaging booth. We got the regular Nina booth, which we're here in the middle of, and then across the aisle, you have a guy running the letterpress for your thebeautyofletterpress.com, and you once again promoting the cabinet app.
Absolutely. Always have to have lots of stuff going on at Nina. So we do have the letterpress up and running. So we've got some great little 25th anniversary pieces that we're pressing, and that's to celebrate both Howe's 25th year as well as Nina's 25th year at Howe. So a couple things going on there. And then, yes, the cabinet for the Mac has been updated, revised a little bit, so we're featuring that again.
And Doug over in the packaging department over there was telling me you guys are handing out, like, Maker's Mark whiskey because somehow, must be the Nina paper is on the whiskey bottles, or is it just his excuse to bring a bunch of whiskey with him to a conference?
Yeah, that might be just an excuse, but no, absolutely. The Maker's Mark has been on Nina paper for years and years and years, long history there. And so that's one of the things that our packaging group, going to talk to a different channel, gets to work with a lot of live samples of products that have been produced on Nina papers.
All right, well, thank you. We look forward to seeing you the rest of the week. And what are you looking forward to most outside of being in the trade show area? Will you get to get away and actually see anything while you're here at Howe?
You know, we snuck away to a couple of sessions. Sessions are always great. Learn something new every time. So I've got to do a little bit of that. And then tonight we're doing the packaging die line party for Nina. That'll be a lot of fun as well.
A lot of Maker's Mark. All right, I'll see you there.
Thanks. See you soon.
And that is it for today. I'm your host, Donovan Beery. I will be here. I think we're doing about three recaps is the plan. I'm hoping to get about five podcasts. We've already recorded a couple of them. These will come out once a day, probably a week after the conference itself, and the other podcast should go up, once every week or two for the next couple months. So we look forward to seeing what else goes here, and over 4,000 people and designers should be a crazy week.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.